Hello, and welcome to the Divorce Woman's Guide podcast, where we talk about the things us divorcees are thinking, but not always talking about, as we turn our divorce into the best gift you've ever been given. And I do so with a little bit of sass and a whole lot of class. I am your host, Wendy Sterling, founder of The Divorce Rehab. I am here to support you in this transition phase of your life so you can start your new, best chapter on your own terms. After all, that's what I did after my own divorce. And now it is my mission to change the conversation around divorce and help you see why your divorce, like mine, was the best gift you ever received. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. I am so happy you've tuned in today because I am here with none other than Connell Barrett. Hello, Connell. How are you?
I'm great, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today as we discuss the journey from rock bottom to rock star results. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means when we dive into our conversation. But before we do, let me share a little bit more about you with our audience today. So Connell Barrett is a dating coach and has one mission: to help men defeat loneliness and attract their soulmates as their most authentic, confident selves. He's the founder of Dating Transformation and a coach with the Leak dating app. Connell spent years training with the world's best relationship and self-development experts. And what's next, Connell? Well, apparently showing men a new way to date with his forthcoming book, Dating Sucks, But You Don't, The Complete Dating Guide for Men in the Me Too Era, releasing in May by Simon and Schuster. So welcome to the episode today. I absolutely adore you. We were chit-chatting before we hit the record button, and aww, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today, Connell. So before we dive in, I always ask my guests to please share a little bit more insight into your journey and how it inspired you to do the work that you're doing today.
My journey began with divorce. But you've never heard that before, have you, Wendy?
Never. Shocking.
I was in my late 20s and I had barely ever dated. I always had low confidence around women and I'm naturally introverted. And I never had a big brother who showed me the ropes. So I married the one woman who wanted to be with me. And 9 weeks later, she left me after the wedding. And as I say in the book, it was over so fast, we could have fought for custody of the wedding cake. Like, that's a fast marriage.
Oh my goodness.
So, and in the period of time after my ex Christina left me, and with very good reason too, because we were just not a good fit, I realized, okay, I don't want to feel lonely anymore. I don't want to feel like I have to settle for what I can get. And I went off on this journey to find out how to be attractive to women in a high value, authentic way, not as some kind of sketchy pickup artist, but seeing if you could do it, I could do it as the real me. And that was, so it took me years to realize how powerful and important that divorce was. But, you know, Tony Robbins has a great line that I like to quote, something can either happen to you or for you. And when my wife left me, I felt like, oh, this is happening to me. And I now realize it happened for me. It put me on this path that ended up sending me off to become the real life Hitch. And I'm grateful that I got divorced. I'm grateful to Christina for having the courage to dump me, which she deservedly should have. And it was all meant to be. So this journey began with a divorce.
I love that. And that is exactly what I say, is that my divorce happened for me, not to me. Mm. And it was the best gift that I ever received. So one of the things that I'm really looking forward to diving in and talking to you about is more of that. So, you know, obviously when a relationship falls apart, your self-esteem takes a little bit of a hit. So how did you pull yourself out from that place to really take that step into getting to know who you were?
I just decided to take massive action. I said, you know what? I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to feel like, essentially, I, I felt like I didn't have value to women. I felt like I wasn't that guy most women wanted to date. They were few and far between in my mind. I was playing this horror story in my head. And I finally decided, okay, I need help. I think I'm more attractive. Everybody tells me I'm a catch. Everybody tells me I'm great. Why don't I feel that way? And what I started doing was working with self-help coaches and hypnotists and classy coaches and sketchy pickup artists. I just worked with everybody. I threw all the spaghetti in Italy against the wall to see what would stick. And I started going out to take programs. I approached countless number of women. I took courses in dating apps. Basically my epiphany was, I know this sounds cheesy, but my epiphany was once I started dropping the act and the mask and building up some confidence and learning, hey, okay, maybe I'm not the best looking guy in the world. Maybe I'm not the cool guy with the man bun and the tattoos, but you know what? Lots of women like nerdy gingers. Lots of women might like a nice solid guy. And the more authentic and true and real I became with women, the more I realized, wow, some of these women really are liking me in a way that never happened before. And that authenticity, I feel like, is the secret potion that we have to bottle up and give to men and women.
Absolutely. I love that story because it rings true, and I can relate to that wholeheartedly. You know, when my ex-husband and I separated, and even when our divorce was done, everybody kept telling me things about myself that I just, when I looked in the mirror, I never saw them either. And one of the things that I actually, aside from waiting until I was ready to start dating, I actually, you know, did something very similar where before I started dating, I really needed to know who was staring back at me. But then once I started to get to know her, same thing, like I went out as authentically me. And, you know, I kind of used the phrase that like I kind of test drove the new Wendy as I was navigating the dating pool, right? But it wasn't because I was looking for validation. So I just want to, you know, let everybody know, and I'm sure, you know, you agree that it's not about validating who it is that you are. It's really about you gaining the confidence to be the most authentic version of yourself. And sometimes the dating apps, I don't know, some people I think have two different sides that they see that is, right? Like for me, I think it's really great for you to be able to be your most authentic self because you truly have nothing to lose by being yourself. But at the same time, then other people are afraid and they try to use the dating apps to kind of hide that. So how can people navigate that dichotomy?
It begins with the decision to show the courage, and it does take courage to be vulnerable and put that your real self out there. And understanding that nobody else has the power to make you doubt yourself unless you give them that power. And that starts by rewriting your story and giving yourself a true, rock solid belief system in yourself. I love doing this with my clients. I take them through this exercise where I look at the single biggest limiting belief they have about themselves. And I show them, we poke some holes in it. Like, I am too short and I have a dad bod, so I can't attract a great wife, maybe. That's his belief. And guess what? If that's your belief about yourself, then you're going to get that dating result in your life because your actions and emotions are going to follow that recipe. That bad tasting recipe. So what we do is you want to flip that core belief about yourself. And I think it starts with an I am statement, something about your identity. I am enough. I'm attractive. I'm a great catch because, and then write out three reasons and get in touch with these reasons every single day so that you can remind yourself, hey, I have worth, I have value. Lots of people, men, women, whoever you want to date are going to be attracted to me if I first get in touch with myself, because you can't attract someone else. You can't really connect with someone else unless you connect with your own awesomeness. It has to mainly come from the inside. And then sure, we can get a little validation from people, which feels good to get validated. Mm-hmm. I had a great date last night. I went home feeling pretty validated, but had she not liked me, I would have still felt like, hey, I'm good no matter what. And it's just, it starts with that inside. We have to write a really powerful, compelling story that makes us get in touch with that worth.
Yeah, I love that because that's really where your confidence comes out. And, you know, I believe the same thing. I mean, our limiting beliefs actually, you know, absolutely create our reality because what we think we create. And at the end of the day, if you are not in that place of feeling great about yourself, then you're going to attract, you know, the people who agree with you. Right. I mean,
yeah.
And I will say I started dating way too early and I started attracting the same men that I was married to, which we all know how that happened or what happened at the end of that, right? So I think what you said is really, really important. And a lot of people don't necessarily understand quite how it is that they can really tap into what the positives are. So how can people portray that? You know, let's say they're out on a first date. You know, so many newly divorced folks are so nervous. Even many of us, right? I found my ex-husband in college. So I didn't date on a dating app until I was in my 40s. So it was just the wild, wild west for me, as with so many people that I know that are listening. So how can they communicate, or what are like some tips that you have that they can, that you can share that allow you to really put yourself, your best self out there so that what you attract is who responds to you?
Say the true scary thing on a date. Ask yourself, what am I thinking and feeling right now? And share that, assuming it's not vulgar, assuming it's not something.
BPG,
I have to, especially some of my guys, I have to say, tell her what you're really feeling and thinking, as long as it's G-rated, or at least PG-rated. And although there might be a moment when you can say the R-rated thing, but not too early. Right. Anyway, it comes down to leaning into who you truly are at your core. And taking off the dating mask, taking off the mask that we think other people want to see. A quick story, when I was not following this rule, there was a woman I met when I first went on this dating journey. I had a big crush on a woman I met on Match.com, a very attractive woman whose name is Lauren. And Lauren was this very outdoorsy, rugged adventure woman. She was like a real life Lara Croft. And that's so not me. I'm a nerdy musical theater loving Jeopardy addict who can read books all day. And you know, I'm not out there swimming with sharks. So, but what did I do? I sat across from her on a second date and I told her all of these fabrications about who I was. I said, oh, I'm studying to become a pilot. Lie. I go scuba diving. I swim with sharks in Belize. Double dog lie. Just a string of BS, not to manipulate her so much, but to try to, in my mind, I was beneath her. And I felt like I had to tell this, I had to convey, wear a mask, wear an ill-fitting suit. And I started sweating, my forehead started sweating because I have a terrible poker face and I hate lying. And it just, the date went terrible and she friend-zoned me, deservedly. Whether or not she knew I was lying, if nothing else, she could just tell, like, wait a minute, you don't come across as that person at all. Something was off about me. Instead, what I should have done was just sort of leaned into that, talked about my love of musical theater and or found out why she loved hiking and outdoorsy things. But it came from a place of feeling like I wasn't good enough for her. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is, again, we have to first buy into our own awesomeness and be vulnerable enough to show the other person that side of you that you don't know that they want for sure. You're not certain they want to date that kind of person, but guess what? Only by leaning into that true authentic self are you going to attract the kind of person who loves that nerd or single dad or single mom or dork or whatever your sort of avatar is. We need to really kind of double down on that. Yeah. And yeah. But again, it starts with accepting yourself and showing yourself.
Yeah. And I think that is so hard for so many people because they want to be liked. You know, they want the other person to like them when, you know, it's almost kind of like a job interview. You're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you. So, you know, it's got to be a two-way street. And, you know, it's interesting that you say that story because I remember when I was first back out in the field and figuring out this whole dating world thing. You know, there were times where people would, or gentlemen would say back to, you know, they would tell me that they like to do things. And I like so many things that I was like, oh my God, never in a million years. Or they'd be like, you know, oh, I ride a motorcycle. And I'd be like, oh my God, I've always wanted to ride on the back of one, where I'm like, oh my God, I'm deathly afraid of motorcycles, you know? And I, you know, I think that a lot of times we forget that you want the person to be the one that you want them to prove themselves to you almost, right? Like, not that you want them to try harder, but, you know, and this is from the female perspective, and I'd love the male perspective on this, mm-hmm. but from the female perspective, it's like, oh God, you know, especially if you get the butterflies on the first date, which I've heard positive and negatives about if you do get those butterflies on the first date, what they mean. But, you know, there's so many times and with so many women where when that happens, you get nervous and you really want the other person to like you, and you kind of forget, you kind of lose yourself in the butterflies. Does the same thing happen to guys? And how do we navigate those butterflies that come up where you kind of just lose yourself in that moment sometimes?
Yeah, it's a great question. And absolutely, men get huge butterflies. I think there's a question we all ask on a date, and it's not a good question. We need to change the question. Mm-hmm. A lot of us ask this question, it's just beneath the surface of our mind, which is, how can I get them to like me?
Yes.
And that's not a good question to ask, because mm-hmm. the answer to that question makes you someone who's seeking validation and monitoring and their self, trying to manipulate the situation into what you want. And I just think that's a bad question to ask. A much better question to ask yourself is something like, how can I make this person smile? Or how can we connect mm-hmm. in a genuine place? And ask yourself that as you walk into the first date venue, and just come back to that. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're really attracted to that person, you could see yourself with them. It's natural to figure out, oh, are they liking me? But it's just not a question that serves you. So I like to ask better questions. How can I make her smile? How can I make him laugh? How can I, here's a great question. Find out what makes the other person fascinating. Make that your goal on a date. Turn yourself into an interviewer, not interview mode in a boring, bad first date way, but really find out what makes somebody tick. If your date feels that you see the real them, then you have a much better chance at a cool romantic connection than if you just try to say or do the thing that you think they want. And the nice thing is if you really focus on giving to the other person, you're much more likely to get that outcome that you want, which is the mutual interest.
Yeah. Well, and one of the cues I always say is that if they're not asking you questions back and they're just replying to your questions, that's also a sign. So what are some signs that people can pay attention to when they're out or on a date or even just talking on the app, which a lot of people do before they meet in person? You know, what are some cues that they can start paying attention to within themselves when they know that there's some red flags coming out?
A couple of things you can look for in that early courtship phase. You do want to ask yourself, or you do want to notice, is this other person showing interest in me? Are they asking questions? And if they're not, it doesn't mean, oh, don't date them, they're narcissistic, but it is something to note. And you might be able to help them ask the right questions of you. You might even say, oh, great, nice to hear about your trip to Machu Picchu. What would you like to ask me? Put a little bit of pressure, put some nice pressure on them, because dating is give and take. It does take that mutual effort and investment. So I like to pay attention to see if my date is asking questions about me, showing genuine interest. If they're not, it doesn't necessarily mean they don't like you. They might just be a little bit rusty at dating. So that's not a red flag, but it is something to look for. I'm also looking for, I want to crack a lot of jokes and have fun early. And then I want to kind of drop much of that as the date goes on and just be really real, be really vulnerable and just talk about some real stuff. And sure, fun, surface level playful conversations about travel and food and movies, that's great. But let's also get a little bit real, at least a little bit on the first date or two. So I'm gonna go first. I recommend people go first with that vulnerability. Talk about the scariest day of your life or the biggest thing you ever screwed up or how afraid you are about something in your life. Show that vulnerability. Guess what? Vulnerability is attractive because it takes courage to show that vulnerability. And that actually, if you kind of open up a little bit, that gives them reciprocation kicks in and they're more likely to open up back. And now you've got two people who are kind of showing their real selves. And that's a great way to find out if yourselves are as attracted to each other as your outer selves are attracted to each other.
Yeah, because I always say, like, actually, one of the benefits of COVID is I feel like it's forced us to really have to talk on the phone and even on video, but just really forcing the communication factor. And I always say that building intimacy through communication to me is 10 times more important than the physical at first, mainly just because as you build the intimacy through communication, the other person, you know, when you physically meet them, it's, to me, it just shines this beautiful light around them and just, it makes them even that much more attractive. Like, to me, that is like the cherry on top. And, you know, that's always been, that has been my experience since I was dating through COVID. What is your opinion on that? And what have you seen shift through, like, over the last year in terms of the way that people have been connecting and really forcing intimacy through communication?
I think dating during COVID, it was like we all went back to the 90s, the 1890s. Courtship came back.
Yeah.
Because for obvious reasons, we couldn't, many of us just chose not to date in real life or at least date in real life in a slower way. So courtship, communication, I totally agree with you. We've all become better listeners, I think. And that's going to serve us well in this, hopefully, more or less now, soon, post-pandemic dating world, where sure, we're still going to be meeting in person, like we're going to start meeting in person again, but we're going to be able to listen a lot more closely and really connect emotionally. And in my book, I talk about how we're basically all the same on the outside, more or less. However, we're all so fascinatingly different, singular, unique inside, right? Mm-hmm. You contain multitudes. And if I'm on a date with a person, I want to really find out what makes her incredible. If one of your listeners is on a date with a single dad, you know, she's going to want to find out, okay, what makes this guy tick? How can I see, what emotional commonalities do we have? Who cares if we both like Coldplay? Okay, great. I like Coldplay. You like Coldplay. You like Queen's Gambit. I like Queen's Gambit. That's good. That's a starting point. But let's really find out if we emotionally connect. And I feel like COVID and having to communicate by Zoom and FaceTime and all the ways we've been forced and by phone forced to, it slowed the dating process down. So it's more courtship and more connection, less, hey, let's hop in the sack on the second date.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think that, and I've even noticed the difference dating before COVID and then dating during COVID, because it was very different. And the way in which you got to know somebody was also very, very different. And I've had better results during COVID than I did before COVID for that exact same reason, which I find to be so incredibly fascinating. You know, I love that you say that you just said that it really forces us to be better listeners. And I think that that enables us to do what you said just prior to that, which is to learn how to get curious about the other person and to really learn a lot about them before you take those types of, you know, steps that maybe you would have taken a lot faster in, you know, a year prior. So
I think that connection is attraction. I think that I come from a place of men learning to meet women. There's a lot of guy content out there saying, learn these attraction moves, attractor, attract, attract. And I think that's a misnomer. I believe that attraction, I think we're already attracted to each other, right? Men like women like men, among other combinations. The attraction part is pretty much there. It's the emotional connection that allows us to basically follow that physical attraction. And because we feel comfortable and emotionally connected to that person. And it just, plus it just makes the sex way better when you're emotionally really into somebody, as opposed to just making it about the physical.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I mean, I tell my clients this all the time that, you know, there's so many different ways to build intimacy with somebody, but the best way that you can start creating intimacy is through connection, and connection through communication. There's nothing like it. And I mean, there's just nothing like it. I'm going to end it with that statement in mind, and my statement with that statement. But what is another way that people can kind of crack the code on dating so that they start seeing better results?
I think that now is a great time for you to ask that question, because COVID is ending. We're in the final minutes of the fourth quarter, I hope. And I think we're about to enter a golden age of, in the second half of 2021, of meeting people in real life again. I think we're going to go back to the past in a good way. And look, I love dating apps. I work for a dating app and I've enjoyed working on dating apps. But if you think about it, what's more normal and natural? Taking a rectangular box out of your pocket and moving your finger on it 300 times and finding a duck-faced selfie and then clicking that button and dating that person whose duck-faced selfie you like the most, that versus seeing an attractive, intriguing stranger and saying hi. It's much more natural and normal to just walk up to somebody in real life or at a party or at the gym or what have you. So I would advise anybody listening right now to open up to that, get your head out of your apps and get out into the real world. And
I'm going to write that down.
say hi to that person standing next to you at Starbucks or at the gym. Pay them a compliment. The reason why now is going to be, I think, the time to do this is because even before COVID, there was a lot of dating app fatigue among singles. And now after a year and a half, more or less in lockdown, I think like we're all starved to have that in real life moment that's like something from a rom-com. Grocery shopping, you both reach for the same box of frosted mini wheats. There's one left. Turns out you both love frosted mini wheats. Oh my gosh, we have to get together sometime and get coffee. That's an amazing rom-com moment that you get to give each other. It doesn't happen when you meet on the apps, but it happens when you meet in real life. So I think we're all ready to start meeting people in real life again.
Oh my God, without a doubt. I mean, one of the things I loved doing when I was single was going to a restaurant bar and just sitting at the bar by myself, which not a lot of people like to do, but I loved it because I love striking up. Maybe again, this is unique to me, but I love talking to strangers. I mean, even during COVID, anytime I would go to the market, I mean, we all were craving conversation and connection with somebody other than, you know, our children or, you know, the people that we were able to connect with during COVID. And I feel like people are so much friendlier now than they used to be. And I agree with you. I think now is just an amazing time to start connecting outside and to really just go for, I mean, I believe you have nothing to lose. What do you have to
Absolutely.
Lose?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. There's a little vignette in my book. When I first went out to start approaching women, I met a really cool, interesting woman named Ashley at Whole Foods. And we chatted, we exchanged numbers. She could tell I was nervous. And I think I said something like, oh my God, you're so nice. Thank you for giving me your number. Can't wait to get together. And she said to me, but it felt like she was talking to all men. She said, it's okay. You can come up and say hi. We like it. And I would also share that message to women too. I know for a fact men love it when a woman drops a handkerchief of sorts and says, hey, excuse me, I really like your sneakers, your tie. Cool. What kind of coffee are you drinking? Anytime a woman has ever broken the ice with me with the intention of maybe flirting, I was blown away and so impressed and appreciative because I know how hard that can be. So yeah, to quote Ashley from Whole Foods from 10 years ago, come say hi to us. We like it.
I love it. I think that's a great way to end it. So everybody tuning in, you just got amazing advice for from Connell. I hope that you guys feel inspired to just go for it and just say hello to somebody, because you never know. You never know who you could meet and where you could meet them. And you are an amazing example of what is possible for anybody out there. Connell, thank you so much for joining me today. I really loved our conversation.
I had a blast. Thank you for having me, Wendy.
Of course, of course. And everybody tuning in, I hope that you got some really great nuggets of information to navigate your dating process. I always strive to do that with every episode. I hope that you guys have a beautiful rest of your day. Sending you tons of love, light, and joy as always. Mwah. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorced Woman's Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this episode with someone you know or spread the word on social media. This is how I reach more divorcees around the world and provide them with the support they need to create their next best life. And I would also love to continue the conversation with you. So please friend me on Facebook, join my private Facebook group, The Divorce Rehab, and follow me on Instagram at Divorce Rehab with Wendy. I'll see you next time.